Well, welcome. We're glad you all could make it. I hope, as I was just saying, that you can walk out of the room this morning with a clear understanding of what PDP means, what the approval process looks like, how the PDP approval committee functions. We certainly, if we can demystify that for you, I think it'll make whether this is a good choice for your organization to pursue very clear. Professional development program started in 1998. It's clearly been an evolution. The real orchestrator right now at NBAA is Jay Evans. Jay is the director of operations at NBAA, but he holds probably about 23 different hats there. He is the liaison to the flight attendant committee, to the corporate aviation management committee. He's also the liaison to the professional development approval committee. He's the administrative director of the certified aviation manager program. He's been at NBAA for about 13 years. He's ex-Air Force, and we always have to mention the fact that he keeps adding grandchildren to his list. You're up to how many? Three.
Knee pitchers, we got show.
But anyway, I'm Don Henderson. I'm the chair of the PDP approval committee. I'm a director of aviation for a bank that took TARP funds. We still have airplanes, but it's been a bit of a challenge for us in the last 18 to 24 months. I've been on the committee for now about 4 years, and it is probably the most exciting thing I do with NBAA. It probably feels like the most significant thing I do with NBAA. The committee is made up of about 50% academics and 50% operators. We have a representation from maintenance, from dispatch, from flight department leaders, and now we're branching into some experts in the vendor areas, and we sit down with the academics, and we try to put the what has traditionally been the knowledge segment of the world together with the real world function. The committee works very well together. When I joined the committee, I was a little concerned. I kind of sat down and went, I don't know how it's going to be sitting here with the academics. And I will tell you, I have learned so much. And we really do struggle together with getting courses approved, with working with the material. There's a high amount of respect. It's the healthiest committee I've ever seen. And that isn't always said about committees. Right now, the only approval you will see anymore from the NBAA is the PDP logo. There used to be
CAM logo.
There used to be, you know, NBAA CBA certification, NBAA PDP certification. Everything now works toward the Certified Aviation Manager Program. The Certified Aviation Manager Program really comes out a desire to give everybody in the industry an understanding that an individual understands the broad base of knowledge they need to lead in our business. If you hire a CPA, you don't expect them to be an expert in an area, but you probably anticipate that they have a broad understanding of all the accounting rules. If you hire an attorney, you hope he passed the bars, knowing that he at least understands everything he needs to know. He may not be an expert in every area of law, but he has a broad understanding. If you go to a doctor, you assume he passed his medical board. That's what the hope is for the CAM, is that if someone has a CAM certification, you can approach them and say they at least have a general understanding of all the areas of knowledge they need to lead in the business aviation environment. If you see the PDP provider logo, you can be assured, if your course has that, that it meets the knowledge and skill objectives that build to the CAM. Really what we hope is your courses provide the knowledge and skill basis to prepare people for CAM certification. A lot of our folks may not ultimately go for CAM certification, but we want your courses to have all the elements that will build them to be a CAM if that's what they so desire. The PDP actually is designed to develop highly qualified middle and senior leaders for business aviation, to develop them both in their knowledge areas and their skill sets. It hopefully will lead to a certification. The purpose, primarily with PDP in general, is to educate our industry. The tradition has been that the most senior pilot in an aviation department is the one that usually gets elevated to leadership because they were the face to the company. That may not be the most qualified person to leave the department. They may be great at making a good landing at the end of the day, but they're probably maybe clueless about employee motivation, proper employee reviews, regulations that relates to maintenance. And so what we found in our industry is that we were elevating leaders to positions of authority without the skill sets to lead within their own companies. So hopefully PDP in general develops the knowledge set for anybody in business aviation to rise to a leader. It has a desire to have certified tests, quantification that people understand what they really should know. PDP also has a scholarship component and funding for education. And clearly, the PDP process provides guidance through its objectives on what areas of knowledge one should have to be successful in this business. stated goal for PDP is it's the vision of the CAM and the PDP program is to prepare and recognize business aviation professionals for management roles within business aviation flight departments. I know that when I talk to a lot of my peers, it's amazing sometimes what they don't understand about business. You oftentimes find that you can find a person who's leading at a flight department that has $100 to $200 million in capital, and they don't understand net present value. They can't talk to their CFO. They have no capability of having that conversation with their HR department about employee goals. And that does not bode well long-term for our industry. We're considered to be business unit leaders in our companies, and we need to function like business unit leaders. So hopefully PDP will begin to correct that. It actually started in 1998, and currently there's been over 7,000 classes presented and completed. The PDP approval correlates directly now with the CAM exam. And those courses right now are everything from one-day classes to full college curriculum. We have approvals on all different types of spectrum. We would like to see as many different types of delivery methods for education, styles of education that we can find, because we have a very diverse audience. We have folks that can only do distance learning. Their schedules do not allow them to attend a traditional classroom. We have individuals that would like to take a specialized class on HR because their skill sets in other areas, in the technical areas, might be very strong. That's the nice thing about PDP is it is a buffet for the student to choose for their areas of weakness. And hopefully, we hope that PDP leads to the CAM certification. Currently, the actual objectives can be divided into five different areas. Business management, human resources, leadership, operations, technical, and facilities management. Each objective has a number of sub-objectives. For example, business management has six sub-objectives. When we look at a course, for example, if you submit a course on accounting to us, the PDP approval committee is looking for it to meet the substantive parts of one of the sub-objectives, at least one of the sub-objectives. What we can't have are courses that may teach, for example, the analysis of accounting software. We don't have a subjective for analysis of accounting software. It may be one component of one of the sub-objectives, but for the student, they need to know that they at least have received the broad knowledge of all the accounting principles they may need to be exposed to. So we look at this whole sub-objective. So as you begin your course preparation, and that's available from NBAA, the objectives are online. The real critical part of your success as you develop courseware is to please provide us courses that meet at least the substance part of one sub-objective. You can have multiple sub-objectives. You could teach a class that covered every single objective and every single sub-objective. It'd probably be 2 years long, and we'll give you an approval. But we cannot give approvals for less than at least one sub-objective. That enabled us to maintain the integrity of the approval process. For example, you might have a sub-objective. Business management has six sub-objectives, human resources, nine, leadership, six, operations, five, technical and facilities management has eight. At the end of the week, these are actually going to change a little bit. We review this every 5 years, and the PDP approval committee's meeting at the end of the week. We are updating the objectives. I don't expect them to change night and day. We're just doing some tweaks. We may have moved some things from different categories. But there'll be new ones published hopefully within 30 days, probably 30 days or less. The new ones will be out there, certainly in time for you to develop courseware. You will notice as you read the objectives, there is some overlap. You'll find some areas repeated in some of the sub-objectives. We find that some providers may submit a course for approval for a sub-objective in business management that also covers leadership, and the committee will be happy to give you an approval for both areas, as long as it substantially covered each of the sub-objectives. It is really the student's responsibility to make sure that they get coverage in all the five areas, again, because they're the ones that know their areas of weakness. We're finding that pilots are participating in this, that maintenance professionals, we even have schedulers and dispatchers now that are taking the CAM exam, flight attendants, people in other areas of business aviation. It is slowly catching on. There's 137 CAMs. 137 CAMs now and growing. And we're finding that some companies now are requiring CAM certification for jobs. I know Phil did a job search for his company that the job requirement was CAM certification. Yeah, I think it will take, and Jay may cringe a little bit at this, I think it'll take a generation for us to really get to the point where CAM is accepted like a CPA. There are certain positions you would not hire in an accounting firm unless someone's a CPA. I think we'll ultimately end up in that in business aviation, that the CAM will have the same level of credibility, but I think that's going to take a generation. As I mentioned earlier, we need courses with distance education. That's probably one of the areas we're weakest from providers, and it's probably the greatest need for our students. The challenge with distance education is delivering a quality product, particularly when you're trying to assure that the student has both a knowledge understanding and a skill demonstration. We have approved online classes, but we don't have as many as we'd like. We hope the PDP courses are raising the standards in our industry, and we're seeing that happen slowly. When I look at my peers, they are business leaders. They're expected to function not unlike a chief technology officer or a CFO or someone reporting to a CFO. In my own job responsibilities, I've been asked to give presentations to the board of directors, of a Fortune 500 company, and I'm expected to perform at that level. I'm not a pilot. I started out that way, but in my company, I'm expected to be a whole lot more. The peers in for me corporately are folks that have MBAs, that have graduated from advanced management programs at Harvard. In aviation, we're behind the curve, business development skills. So hopefully PDP will do that for us. Students receive recognition for each sub-objective they accomplish. That's tracked online at the MBA website, as well as they get a certificate. Those course completions add up to points that allow them to qualify to take the CAM exam. Can't take someone off the street and just take a CAM exam. They have to develop enough points in a point system to qualify to take the exam. And that can be done both through education and job experience. Currently, there are 18 PDP providers teaching over 60 courses, and certainly we hope that that increases. As I mentioned earlier, the PDP review committee meets, and we review the courses. We look for substantive coverage of a sub-objective. We are trying to meet at least twice a year so that providers have a regular path for the committee to review material. I would say that it probably takes, depending on the provider, 3 months in the application process to get an application good enough for the committee to see. Jay and Gary do a very good job of vetting your process so that when your material comes before the committee, it's set up for success. The committee is not casual in the approval process. I have seen debates on a course take as long as an hour and a half. Every single committee, it's one of those committees that works hard. Every single committee reads every bit of information you give us. So, for example, if you're teaching a class in motivational theory and you give us a PowerPoint that says, I'm going to talk about motivational theory, which happens to be one part of a sub-objective, we probably won't approve the class. We're going to want to see the detail that you talked about four or five different types of motivational theory. In other words, we really do look at your material to make sure that it covers what it needs to cover. We will look at the examples that you give for course homework and tests. If you say we have a class discussion that's going to evaluate the approval of a vendor, okay, is there a presentation part of that? How's that evaluated? If it's an online class, how do we verify that someone's demonstrated the skill set? So the committee looks at your material in detail. We probably spend, I would say, 12 to 18 hours in preparation for each meeting on an individual basis, looking through material. You'll need to provide supporting documents. One of the challenges we have is sometimes providers will say, well, I'm going to use this textbook, and I can't give you the whole textbook. Jay is, we'll work very hard with you to make sure the committee gets the material they need. And so far, we've been reasonably successful at that. But that's why the process sometimes takes 3 months of dialogue back and forth with Jay to get a course before the committee. Because he's going to come back to you and say, you know what? I'm going to probably need some more detail for the committee in this area. Now, once you get the approval, that is good for a five-year period. And we assume that you teach that class in that approved format. We don't approve an instructor. We approve the curriculum. So you're certainly welcome to change instructors, provided they teach the class as it was approved. You certainly could add material to that class. You cannot subtract from it because, again, we approve that this is the material that is at least being covered in it. You may get audited. The committee does have an audit process. We don't audit a lot, but it is something we do discuss and have done in the past. that is different from the critiques. Your classes will have a critique filled out by the students at the end of the class. That's just good discipline, good teaching discipline. The critiques for your class could be all excellent, but you may do an audit, which is not so strong. And the audit is, again, to see, are you teaching what you said you were going to teach? You know, we do not audit a lot, but certainly we do reserve the right to do that as part of the integrity of the committee. I've already talked about the committee. It's made up of our academics and our real people. Sorry, that didn't come out right, but it came out. And we work very, very hard. Jay, it's your turn.
Just to kind of elaborate, and I very much appreciate Don's presentation. Don is the chair of the committee, and he runs a tight ship. It is a working committee. We do a lot of work to try to go through the courses and try to make sure that we're doing the proper thing, because when your course is approved, we are saying to the students that that you're getting a course and a curriculum that is about business aviation. And when you walk out of this class, you're going to have an understanding of business aviation. And we have an expectation that comes out of that. So the students learn about business aviation. They get the recognition that goes along with that. And we hope that that helps them if they want to do the job that they're doing now. It helps them to do their current job. And we hope it helps them to do the future jobs that may come down the road. And we can certainly put this on their resume where they can log this and say, yeah, I've taken these classes. And that'll help the people that might be hiring to use. And then Don has already alluded to, it helps them in their career planning for the CAM and things that go along with that too. But the courses submitted go to the go over the learning objectives, and Don has already coordinated on that too. But I want to emphasize that we're trying to set the provider up for success, and Don went through a little bit of that, and I don't want to scare you away from the application process. What Don and what we try to do is we try to set you up for success. I do not vote. I do not approve classes. However, I can look at the course and say, yes, this is a course that the committee, I think, would approve. I don't know for sure, but the committee has kind of given us guidance that says, look out for these things. Make sure it's doing this. This is a minimum expectation. And then if we come back, then we'll go work with you to try to say, okay, you need to add this to your class, or you need to take this away, or you need to cover this kind of material, or whatever those things may be. A typical example of what we get, and I'll just, a college example is one of those I would mention. If you're a college, we have several courses that are approved in colleges and universities. The biggest problem, that just as a trend, the biggest problem that we have for a lot of the college courses is that they are geared toward commercial aviation, geared toward the airlines. The examples in the course will be airline examples. The tailored issues will be related to airline issues. And I'm not saying that that's bad. All I'm saying is that when your students take our class, we want them to get a business aviation experience. And so we'll come back to you and say, well, you've got too much of an airline focus. You need to bring it around. Now, that may be an issue, and I'm not trying to work through that, but we'll work through you. I'm not trying to say you can't use airline examples, because some of the best data and the best information we have in our industry comes from the airline statistics and stuff too. But we really need to make sure the student is aware we're talking about business aviation and what that relates to there too. So we'll work with you on the details of the submission there. These are the objectives, and Don has already gone over those and kind of set that up. These are the five. And I would encourage you to look at one of these that I think somebody said that they're in the maintenance area and they come here creating maintenance courses. Technical and facilities management is where most of the maintenance objectives are. The maintenance, they're related to the maintenance side of things. And I'll be honest and say we need providers there. There is a market there for providers. And we need people that have an understanding of the maintenance side. And that's a huge need. So I would just encourage you to look at that. The result of the process when the committee reviews the program, if it's a, you know, you want to come out of it approved. And like I said, we're trying to set you up for success, and hopefully you'll be approved. If it's approved, good for 5 years, we're done. You know, you go from there, like Don alluded to. However, if it's disapproved, we're going to give you feedback. And the feedback is going to be enough that you could be able to say, okay, I missed this or didn't do that. And so you just resubmit at a later time, making those corrections that we've asked you to do. And generally, that's all it takes. Just because it's disapproved the first time doesn't mean you can't resubmit. It just means that it's not approved. Now, the conditionally approved is the middle ground. It's a little more complicated there, but if the course is close, and by that the committee feels the course is meeting the curriculum objectives pretty close, but you've missed it in, and say, for example, BM1 has six objectives to it, six sub-objectives, and you meet four of six, and we say, no, you got to meet at least five of six or six of six, whatever it may be. And so we just say, okay, take this back, make this adjustment, get it back to us right away, and we'll try to get it approved in a quick fashion so it can be approved later on if it works out that way. Sure. So conditionally approved gives you some options.
Can I give an example of sure. that? I remember we had a class that we really liked the class. The material was there, but every single example was, as Jay said, airlines. And we said, we will conditionally approve this class if they change the examples to corporate examples. You know, the material was there. It was, again, missing the editorial comment for us that we felt the committee, this is a business aviation class. And then a lot of times we'll set up a couple members of the committee just to review quickly the changes the provider made without having to meet the committee again. It'll usually be one academic, one operator. They'll take a quick review of the changes, and they have the authority then to give the approval. And that, depending how fast you provide those changes, might be just a couple weeks after the committee met. It just takes however long it takes you to get the material back to us. We had one class, I remember, that was teaching safety. It was in the safety area. And the course had been developed 5 years ago, and it had very little emphasis on SMS. The reality is you cannot teach a class today and casually not, you know, mention SMS. And we said, you know what, the course is good. We just need some more detail on SMS in this class. And we kicked it back to the provider with a conditional approval. You know, hey, you're in the right ballpark. This is going to work. We'll do a quick review of it. Don't have to wait for the whole committee to meet again. But we just need this to be beefed up a little bit.
Thank you.
You lost control.
The providers and some of the benefits that come out of this, we hope, for you and for people who have their courses that are approved. First of all, you get the MBA PDP approved course. That's an approved course. That is recognition. You can use that for marketing material. You can use that for your students. And that would be something that we hope would help you bring customers to you. That's what we want you to do. Each of your students, college students or other students, whoever that is, get the recognition certificate. It's a nice certificate. I didn't bring one with me, but it is a nice certificate there that is something that they can frame or they can certainly keep in their records and use for resumes or things like that that might be involved. And then also, when you're doing that, you're also taking an opportunity that you can have a professional development program course offered in conjunction with MBAA. I want to mention the brochures. There's a bunch in the back of the room, and I gave you these. I just wanted you to see this. This is a PDP directory. In here, in the very front of the directory, we've got courses that MBAA offers. And I just kind of want to walk through this directory with you just a little bit so you understand. This is a little bit of additional marketing opportunity for you as an approved PDP provider. This goes out to all the members, and it's a program that they get the material, they get it, and and we'll talk to them about it. It's also covered on the website, too. And so the very first part of this lists MBA courses by date. So over the year 2010, over next year, we're going to be offering all these classes throughout the year at different parts of the country. In most cases, they're 1 or 2 day format. And that's one of the things that we try to encourage as much as possible. Our members will drive or travel or go somewhere to take a 1 or 2 day class. Now, if it's a 5 day class, they will go and see it, but that takes a lot of travel and a lot of effort. So I'm just trying to kind of give you a little bit of the sense of the market out there. So if you're doing a 1 day or 2 day class, that works that way. And then you can have the class in conjunction with an MBA event. Schedulers and Dispatchers, this coming January, at the end of January, is in San Antonio, and we've got about 5 different classes that are offered in conjunction with that class. And so you've got and we'll have well over 100 students that will take the classes during that time. So if you're a PDP provider, we'll go out to you at the middle of the year, early part of the year, and say, okay, what courses do you want to offer in 2010? Do you want to submit? And then MBAA will work with you through an RFP process to possibly have a course offered in conjunction with an MBA event. So that's something that you can partner up with MBAA as the PDP provider for that.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to do that. That's not required at all. Later on in the book, it's got PDP by objectives. One of the things that I want you to understand on the objectives and the course listing, that's on page 10, it talks about the objectives. That gets into the idea that some of the students are preparing for the CAM exam. And if the student has an ops background, in other words, they're a pilot and they're trying to get ready to take the CAM exam, but they haven't got much maintenance experience, they'll actually look at, they'll take a practice exam and they'll look at it and say, wow, this is a little bit tough. I need to bone up on maintenance a little bit. I need to learn more about it. So they'll go and they'll take classes in the technical and facilities area. So that's why they might call you up and say, hey, are you offering a course in this area, these objectives? And that'll help them to do that. In addition to that, we've got the course providers listed here by the course material, by the phone numbers and contact. And I get calls, people asking about what courses are available. And I'll certainly pass your information on to them. And then on top of that, too, at the back of this, the last four or five pages of this pamphlet, we list courses that the providers are offering on their own schedule. When you're an approved PDP provider, we want you to offer courses in conjunction with MBAA, but you can offer the courses anytime you want, anywhere you want. And if you get people to take it, that's great. That's all you. That's all your material. That's all your students. The money you make out of that is your money, and MBA is not involved in that, too.
But the student will still get credit for a PDP class.
Exactly. The student gets the credit there, too. So that's some of the additional marketing. In addition, as I mentioned before, just for emphasis, the website has this material covered on it also. So please pick up some provider directories, PDP directories back there, too, and that'll help you. And this is the last slide I just wanted to cover that relates to the approvals. As Don has already alluded to, your course is approved for 5 years. That means we're going through an update on the objectives right now. Even though the provider has already got their courses in, they're already approved, they're still good for 5 years. They don't have to change anything. It's a gradual process. If you all would think back just a little bit, 5 years ago, our industry was quite different from what it is now. So honestly, every five-year updates are probably pretty reasonable. And that's where the job analysis revolves around the CAM program and how that's set up. So we've gone through quite a bit here. I've kind of covered a lot in the sense of the PDP program. We've tried to explain to you kind of the perspective of where we're coming from. This is NBAA trying to reach out to potential providers to say, our students, our members need professional development courses. They need training and education and things that will help them move up in their career, prepare for future management roles, and these are the things that we're asking you to teach. We're trying to give you the tools that will help you reach our students, our members, and help them in their career. So in a partnership, we'd love to work with you. The committee and the group that are here now works really hard at this. I'd like to introduce some of the committee members, and Don's already alluded to that, but just Don is the chair of the committee. Gary Keitley is on the committee over here, and he and I work closely in terms of the curriculum review. He'll have a review program this afternoon that providers will come in and talk about their courses. So that's additional marketing opportunity, too. Mike Ouellette is one of our newest committee members there. And then, of course, Dr. Phil Roberts is here, as he's also past chair and a PDP on the PDP review committee, too. And so that's kind of our program. That's where we're at. We'll be glad to answer questions. Thank you for your patience in going through this. I want to give the people in the audience, anybody else who wants to add anything or ask questions on there, we are being recorded. And so I might try to repeat the question, but, you know, if we can go informal here very quickly, so that's no problem either, too. So any questions or comments or use that microphone that you're having in your hand there, if you would, please, sir. But you got to turn it on first.
I did.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Particularly, it's difficult on business management leadership objectives because those tend to be softer skills. You can ask someone in a financial management class to develop a budget for a three-airplane flight department or aircraft refurbishment. But talking about, as we use motivational theory as an example, that takes a different set of skill set demonstration. And we've seen a particular amount of challenge with the online. You know, how do you demonstrate skills in an online format? Some providers have been able to do it, but it is a difficult bar to cross. If you really want to set yourself up for success in the approval process, part of the application process will have you list on the application the PDP objective and sub-objective, and next to that, where it's found in your material. The more accurate that information is, if you can go down the list and say, you know, objective A, subpart 1, is found on page 23 of this, you know, presentation, and we can go to it and say, yep, they really did cover that, it makes the approval process a lot more thorough. Just putting in there and saying it's in the presentation, PowerPoint number 3, you know, we're going to go through and try to figure out, well, what are they really teaching here? That will set you up for success. You may have a course that you prepare for PDP approval. It may be a one-day course, but you may teach it a lot of times. Once you get the approval, you can teach as many times as you want. But I will tell you that with the providers, it typically seems to be, if history is any predictor of future performance, that seems to be a three-month process because they provide something and they didn't fill in the application. They didn't tell us where it is. And Gary and Jay sit there and they go, all right, where's this? Because I'm not going to put it in front of the committee if it doesn't have the material. So the more thorough you are in the upside, the front side, you know, we've had people that may teach just an SMS class and they try to submit that for approval for a much larger set of objectives. And they say, well, we kind of talk about that. Well, we kind of talk about that. Those are the ones that are a real challenge.
Everything is under online. Right now, the ones that are online are the current objectives that we're using, which is under mba.org/PDP. However, by the end of November, we'll have the updated objectives. And as Don alluded to earlier, they are being updated, but it's a gradual update. It's not a huge change from what it previously was. But as I mentioned before, you know, 5 years ago, we were not speaking of SMS the way that we are right now. It's taken on a new emphasis. We weren't talking about environmental issues and ETS and things related to that like we are now. Those are things that we really have to keep up because our members need to keep up with what's going on in our industry.
Yeah, I'd also encourage you is to look at the holes in the PDP program because now you have a list of all the providers and the objectives being taught, and you may have a great opportunity for a class that's not being taught. And that's a market. You know, that's a great opportunity because no one else is doing it. We're trying to meet twice a year. We do not have a set schedule because we're trying to put, you know, four or five operators together with four or five academics. Yeah, well, and we did our first course approval on a conference call, and it worked. We still are defining how that really is going to look. And one of the issues we struggle with is, you know, we don't really feel it has integrity for us to say, well, we'll only do the classes that seem like they're strong for approval on telecom, because that doesn't really give the other providers a chance. We do tend to approve stuff on a first-come, first-served basis as they're ready for approval, as Gary and Jay have vetted them. So, you know, when you get into a course discussion, I mean, we literally are flipping open pages of your material, arguing back and forth. You know, they didn't cover this. Yes, they did. If you go over here and look in the lecture notes on page 23, they're covering it here. That's the level of detail the committee works at. And that is a little more difficult to do for us on a conference call. But we're trying. We're trying to make sure that it's predictable. And the reality is if Jay has 10 classes ready for approval, we'll find a way to get the committee together. We're not going to put the committee together for, you know, two classes that are waiting. Because we usually meet for 2 days. It's 2 full days.
We feel there's a market. Over the last year, I can tell you that we've had somewhere between 700 and 800 student course completions over the last year. Now, obviously, MBAA didn't complete all those. Those are completed by other providers that are teaching classes. And then, of course, we get give the students the certificates and things like that. So I can tell you it's somewhere around 750 students or so that completed last year. The year before that, we had just close to 1,000. So this year, down just a little bit, but also I would say at the convention this year, we had the PDP classes before the convention, and we had attendance that was pretty close to normal from the previous year. So we have we feel like there's a market there for you, and we feel like that our students want to take the classes. So, and we want to help get your course in front of our students or in front of our members, and we hope that that's a motivation for you to get the course out there. And we want to help you as much as we can with that, too, because ultimately we're helping our members, and that's what we're all about. It's not on the skill set in terms, and Doc Phil talked about the skill, and what he alluded to is probably one of the most difficult parts about the approval for students and things, because those of you that are educators understand, you know, skills and trying to transfer that. And the committee has several examples and ways that they have been able, that they have approved that allow a person to do a skill set. The exam is one way to do it, and that can be done. And we do have some courses that do have exams. but not very many. Most of the time, the skill set is done through exercises, through discussions that allow them to interchange and network. There are other ways that you can do it in terms of what the student may do in terms of exercises or things that are done and turned into the professor. Any other examples you might have? That's probably a reasonable assessment, 3 or 4 times a year. The providers at different times. We teach the classes that we have in MBA conjunction with MBA events. It's probably, I can tell you, it's January, February, March, April, May, June, a little bit off in July, and then we get around to October, we'll have 4 or 5 courses. In November, there'll be some too. So they're offered throughout the year, but it partly depends on when, you know, students are available. Not as many, sometimes more will take it in the summer. But it's up to them and how you want to do the schedule. And a lot of the providers will work out with an airport or a group at an airport or one of the regional groups, and they'll actually provide a class in conjunction with a regional group meeting. And they may work out to get a facility at an airport where someone has a briefing room that they can talk for a little bit. But that's up to the provider and whatever they negotiate with the provider. Obviously, you can teach it at hotels and things like that too, but usually there's some cost associated with that.
We have so many different, that's the beauty of the program, that we can approve so many different styles of education. I mean, Phil, your class is a quarter long, you know, so it's a quarter long and they cover multiple objectives. Another provider may teach a one-day class that covers only one sub-objective. So it would be very much the type of class you're offering. It may not be feasible to offer it more than once every other year.
The student, how long does it take a student to become a CAM? The basic answer to that question is that it depends on the student. And we have students, first of all, are not required to take PDP classes to become a CAM. They are a way for them to prepare for it. And Jim is a CAM. He could probably tell you a little bit about his background preparation for it. But they're generally going to be experienced people in the industry. So one that's fresh out of college cannot qualify to take the CAM exam. However, someone who has been in the industry a bit would do that. And I don't know, Jim, can you speak to your preparation for the CAM exam, or were you just lucky? I'm sorry, I'm teasing.
I don't think, Jay, correct me if I'm wrong, you can qualify for the CAM exam strictly on education.
No.
Yeah, in other words, there's a component that requires industry experience to have enough points to qualify for the exam. And, you know, I may have in my department a dispatcher who's had 2 years in aviation, and that's all he's done. He may need a lot more, you know, PDP classes to round out his knowledge of maintenance than a pilot I have who has an AMP. He's not going to take a maintenance class, but he's probably going to take a leadership class. So that's the beauty of the program, is it really does meet everybody where they are. The one thing I know about Jay and Gary is they're on your side as providers. They will work very hard to make sure your course is ready, and probably calling them with a question, they will get back to you an answer. I mean, they will work hard to make sure your classes are successful. And the committee's committed to getting your class approved. We're just committed also for the integrity of the system so that when you have a PDP approval on your class, people know it means something. Corner me if you have any questions. CJ, if you have any questions.
Thank you all very much. And there'll be the brochures and more information down at the headquarters booth. Hope you get a chance to enjoy the show. The convention's been going really well from our perspective. And so thank you all for being here. And we appreciate any feedback or comments you may have on this. So thanks again, and have a great convention.